Time now for the worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church here on AM 1380 WPHM Port Huron.
Thank you, Jeremy. Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to the Lord's house this day, first Sunday of October. And for those in the Reformed tradition, they know it as Worldwide Communion Sunday. And we Lutherans never named it because we celebrate sacrament more frequently. But isn't it a neat thought if you think planet Earth, Christian churches in virtually every nation, some under persecution, some not under persecution, but Christians together honoring God and participating on one designated thing. Believe me, it's hard to get Christians to do anything in union with each other. We have so many differences that divide us, but the unity is Holy Communion with a various sense of definition of what communion means. We Lutherans understand what Luther called real presence, R-E-A-L-P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, real presence. Christ is really present in the bread and the wine. The substance has not changed. But it is like Christ said, this is my body, this is my blood, given and shed for you. So we share that with the Christians around this planet, this day, Worldwide Communion. And our radio broadcast this day is sponsored by Mary Patterson. Worship's at our 11 o'clock hour. And she's doing it in memory of Beth Oswald of this congregation that died about a month ago. So in her honor, she is, because Beth at home with her breathing problems and oxygen problems found it necessary to stay at home on her oxygen, and she listened faithfully to us every week as well. So thank you very much, Mary. This week has several tasks being done. I'm trying to jam them into spots. We know that this afternoon is the crop walk. So those on radio, you can join with me or the sister churches or a part of the crop walk here in Port Huron, St. Clair County. Designated Sunday is the first Sunday of October every year. And our confirmation youth and adults, parents, and others of this congregation want to walk the shorter route, which is desirable, I think. I want you to know the Weather Channel says no rain today, and it's going to be sunny for the next several days. So it's a blessing to have that opportunity to do this walk, to raise funds for people not only in disasters for this country, but worldwide. Church World Services celebrating this year their 50th anniversary. After World War II, they got together different people from church faith communities as one expression of how do we respond to hunger in a land of affluence, in a land of plenty. And so crop was developed 50 years ago. Tuesday night's church council has a special thing at 6:15. Trustees have been asked to meet. Patrick Patterson is from the BW Rock, which is the recovery group that the city has organized to address the phenomena, which obviously is an epidemic in this nation, of addiction of narcotics as well as alcohol. So he's making a request upon us. Trustees meet at 6:15 on Tuesday. Church council follows at 7. The beautiful flowers on the altar by Ray and Sue Shinosky. About 9 days ago, they got the call from Florida that Bob McMorrin, who's been in our congregation, on the off season for them in Florida, which meant the summer, and went back to Florida this fall, and there he died. He had a rare blood disease. They tried to do everything in Detroit and then back in Florida to stop the disease, and they could not do it. So his wife Patty is grieving immensely. Ray and Sue Shinosky are in the ring of being cousins and relatives to each other, as the whole circle up here as well as in Florida for the family of Bob McMorrin. Well, we are here to worship a living God who prepares for us in this life the daily bread we enjoy, the food that we will enjoy at the table of our Lord in the resurrection. So we begin with confession of sin. If you'll please rise. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the strength of our ancestors, the host of this meal, the builder of the city that is to come. Amen. If we have died with Christ, we will also live with Christ. So let us confess our sin to the one who is faithful. God, our helper, we confess the many ways we have failed to live as your disciples. We have not finished what we began. We have feasted with friends but ignored strangers. We have been captivated by our possessions. Lift our burdens, gracious God. Refresh our hearts and forgive our sin. Raise us to new life that you have chosen for us in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. There is rejoicing in heaven when sinners repent. So put your trust in these promises. God will never leave you. God will never forsake you. You were lost, now you've been found. So for the sake of Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. Rejoice with the angels at this good news. Amen. We sing our entrance hymn, Morning Has Broken. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Hymn of praise is over for a thousand tongues to sing, and we sing first and sixth verse, one first and last.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
If you'll
join me in the prayer of the day, we pray together. Benevolent, merciful God, we are empty, you fill us. When we are weak in faith, strengthen us. When we are cold in love, warm us, that with fervor we may love our neighbors and serve them for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord. Amen. If you'll please be seated, we have the reading of God's Word. Judy is our first lector.
Good morning.
Good morning.
First reading comes from Habakkuk chapters 1 and 2 with various verses. Injustice and violence in the time leading up to the Babylonian exile moved the prophet to lament. How can a good and all-powerful God see evil in the world and seemingly remain indifferent? God answers by proclaiming that the wicked will perish, but the righteous will live by faith. The oracle that the prophet Habakkuk saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not listen? Or cry to you, violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see wrongdoing and look at trouble? Destruction and violence are before me, strife and contention arise, so the law becomes slack and justice never prevails. The wicked surround the righteous, therefore judgment comes forth perverted. I will stand at my watchpost and station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what he will say to me and what he will answer concerning my complaint. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets so that a runner may read it. For there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end and does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Look at the proud. Their spirit is not right in them. But the righteous live by their faith. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Judy. We sing the hymn, Thy Word, two verses there with refrain.
Thank you.
brings us the second word for the day.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The second reading comes from 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. This message written from Paul to Timothy is a personal message of encouragement. In the face of hardship and persecution, Timothy is reminded that his faith is a gift of God, and he is encouraged to exercise that faith with the help of the Holy Spirit, beginning with verse 1. Paul had an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God for the sake of the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did. And when I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day, recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Do not be ashamed then of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God who saved us and called us with holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. And for this reason, I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know the one in whom I have put my trust, and I'm sure that he is able to guard until that day what I have entrusted to him. Hold to the standard of sound teaching that you have heard from me in the faith, love that are in Jesus Christ. Guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. Word of God and word of life.
Thanks be to God. And thank you, Tony. If you're able to stand for the gospel, please do so. We speak together the acclamation there, page 9. Alleluia. The word of the Lord endures forever, and that word is the good news that was announced to you. Hallelujah. Gospel reading for the day. We're coming near the end in November of the Gospel of Luke, 17th chapter, beginning with the 5th verse. Glory be to you, O Lord. So the apostles said to Jesus, increase our faith. The Lord replied, if you had faith even the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Whoever among you would say to his slave, who has just come in from plowing or tending the sheep in the field, come here at once, take your place at my table. Would you not rather say to him, prepare supper for me? Put your apron on and serve me while I eat and drink. Later, you may eat and drink. Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, should say, we're just worthless slaves. We have done what we ought to have done. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated.
Dear friends, in Christ Jesus, God's grace, God's mercy, God's peace be with us this day. Amen. For those radio, WPHM, or later on podcast, WPHM.net. God's grace as we join here at our Savior. You can follow inside back cover the sermon outline. Kind of gives you the theme about what it's like to live in this faith, and it's not easy. First reading, second reading, third reading makes it clear this is not going to be easy. You know, sometimes in preparation in Roman and Lutheran circles and Presbyterian circles, we go through a process of catechetical studies, preparing young people that they are trained in the faith well enough that they stand and affirm or confirm their faith in their baptismal covenant that somebody else did in the name of Jesus Christ. The time, we would love to see the youth stay with the church into their adulthood. When crisis hits, when temptations come, whether it's socially, whether it's by drugs, whether it's by values of this culture, that they would steer clear of the landmines that entrap so many souls into only living for the world and not for the kingdom. The values are certainly different between those two worldviews. In the first reading, Habakkuk, in the Wednesday study, was going over these lessons. I said, how many of you have ever seen the book Habakkuk? They said, didn't know it existed. Habakkuk is a section of the Old Testament prophets which are referred to as minor prophets. And it's not because they didn't say anything that was important. It wouldn't be in the canon of the scripture if it wasn't the word of the Lord. It's just that his was not of length, like a Jeremiah or Isaiah. It takes up like 50, 60 chapters. This one's brief and to the point for the term of the prophet Habakkuk. He's sharing what we call a lament. It's a cry. You've done them. I've done them. You stand before God and you say, Lord, why are these events taking place? Why am I in this situation? If I'm the blessed child of God, why am I existing and taking part of an evil world? Can't you see from heaven? Is your vision clouded that you can't see the trouble we got ourselves into? Where are you, Lord? Over 100 times in the book of Psalms, 150 Psalms, David cries the same cry. Where are you, God? Can't you see the evil and craziness we have gotten ourselves into by the condition of our sin? So, as he cries to God, he says, look, nobody values life. We destroy it. Nobody cares about treating people with kindness, gentleness, justice, like God has always said for his people to strive for justice, and on unfair weights, tables, and economy, those kind of issues. So in his pause, he says, okay, I'm going to stand here. Where's here? It's a watchtower. In the old cities, they would have the outer wall, kind of like the feudal period of Europe and Middle Ages. All the townspeople would come running in if an adversary was coming. Okay. Up in the watchtower, that was the sentry. He was watching and called people, an adversary is coming. So I'm going to stand here, Lord, until I hear from you. It's been a long time. But the word of the Lord came to him and says, look, there is something that I'm going to say to you. I'm going to say, write this down, Allah, the scripture, write this down and do it in plain lettering, which would have been Hebrew characters, so that even a runner can read it. Well, I don't know about you. If I try to run or even walk and read something, I can stumble, trip, and fall. So this is going to have to be big letters if you're running by somebody, if you take that literal. Make it clear. Make it obvious. I want everybody to know if they're running past me and don't have time for my word, I want them to still know this word applies to them. speaks of the end times. It does not lie about what's coming. If it seems slow to get there, tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It's not going to delay. Look at the proud in your land. Their spirit is just not right in them. But the righteous will live by their faith. Okay? Look around you. Those who are smug and snug, and they take confidence in their wealth, their positions of power, their influence, their friends. And they don't give thought of the caring of the people and the creation in which God provided. They're so self-absorbed, we call that, narcissism. In the course of things, judgment is coming. They think nothing's going to happen because it's so slow in coming, but wham, bang, it's going to hit. And it's too late. Tell them, warn them. I, the Lord your God, will bring it about. Strong words. We who live by faith have to live in an evil time, not much different than 600 BC. Almost nothing changes, like a writer of Ecclesiastes says. It's the same old, same old. Yes, it is. Sin corrupts us. It has a way of saying, my need's greater than your need, so my need gets addressed first, and if there's some crumbs for you, I'll give you crumbs. God says, no, that's not what I asked for. I asked for your gifts from your heart, not from your loose change. I want you. I want your whole being. I want your attention. My wife had a, I don't think it was belittling, she had a tactic different from my tactics with the four kids. She would put her hand under their chin and look them straight in the eye and say, I want you to listen to me. Well, obviously, stop in their tracks. It's kind of what God says to us constantly. I want you to listen to me. I'm running short of time, and this deed of the conclusion of the earth's history is soon to take place. Faith is the way to live. Participating in the ministry of catechism and wanting all the youth and hundreds of youth I've taken through confirmation, wanting all young people, wanting all adults to get wise, wake up, shake off the, Jesus will say, the dust, the eyes that are encrusted and closed and sealed and cut off from God. Look at what your God's doing. And it is magnificent. Pay attention, is the word. Live by your faith regardless of what this world's doing. Live in your relationship with the one who gives life. Second reading, Apostle Paul. Writing again to his brother in ministry, Timothy. We've been reading this the last 5 weeks, now in the second letter. Introduction is there. He bestows upon him grace, mercy, and peace that has only one source, God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Grace, mercy, peace. How easy the human tongue is to say that, but to know that there's only one perfect source. It is God who makes that possible. Peace in relationships with other people. We're going to talk about that next week with the blessing of the animals. Saint Francis, his life cycle and how he came around by conversion to understand wealth, power, and even conquering armies are not the cause. It is only a relationship. So consequently, Paul goes on, he says, I cry, I recall your tears too, Timothy. We've shared your ministry, we've shared discussions together and wrote letters back and forth. I want to see that you can be filled with joy and that'll make me happy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois, your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure it lives in you, my brother. Now here this is being written approximately 60 AD, okay? Jesus died roughly 30 AD. 30 years have passed and Paul persecuted the church before he was converted to faith. He noticed in Timothy that Timothy is a third generation Christian. Did you catch that? He wasn't one that was reached by Paul. Rather, he was nurtured in the faith by his grandmother, as well as his mother. And now he's third in line receiving that thing called faith. Yesterday, just kind of share, I was in a house blessing. Joe Bonick and his wife, Betty, asked me to do their blessing. He was raised Salvation Army. His father-in-law, Salvation Army, was a commander and commissioner high up. And we were talking. I asked him, how many years you've been in ministry? He says, oh, 65. I thought, oh, gee, I'm just starting. A life given to faithful living. 5 children. He says, it's not so much where I've been, it's the fact that my kids have faith. And so they do. In-laws, children, 5 kids, been active in the church denominationally as faithful servants of God in the name of Jesus Christ. And then Joe Bonick, he's a United Methodist minister after being raised Christian, Salvation Army. He's totally ecumenical, and he's been with us at 11 o'clock service as he was last Sunday. He's appointed up in Lakeport at the Methodist Church there. He has 5 kids, he and his wife, and they're all active and involved in denominations where they are, okay? I count that as 3. The great-grandfather, who was high in the Salvation Army, he is a 5th generation. He's got 4 generations under him. And all active in the faith. I just brought to mind the scripture. This is intergenerational. But what's happening in America? There's a great breakdown. We talk about people outside church or inside church. Hey, weren't they confirmed here? Wonder where they are now. Didn't they used to be active here? I wonder where they are now. There's an old story, you've heard me say it over my years here. 2 ministers got together, and I won't give denominations, but one was Lutheran, so it can be any denomination. And they were talking about bats getting into church, and we get them regularly here at Our Savior. And it's been about a month since the last one that we have spotted. And he says, well, how did you get rid of bats at your church? And the minister says, oh, we confirmed it. And we haven't seen it ever since. Hang your head. For a lot of people, that's what it is. It's not an affirmation of their faith. It's a graduation. And I'll wash out anybody's mouth who calls it graduation. It's not a graduation. It's the beginning of the journey to grow deeper and richer in faith in Jesus Christ. So he says to his brother in ministry, don't be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, even though I'm sitting here in prison. It's faith that sustains me. It's not popularity. It's not wealth. It's the fact that God made a meaningful decision in my life for me. Hold fast to sound teaching you have heard from me. Don't be ashamed. Guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. Understand this world is at war with us, okay? This is why we call the church that's alive, walking on planet Earth, the church militant. We're engaged in battle, whether you're conscious of it or not. Then the church of those who have graduated, like I usually phrase it, that's the church triumphant. They're the ones who live in glory, face to face. Now we see in a mirror dimly. Then we too will see face to face. We understand that as long as we live, we're a minority of the faithful that God has placed here to bring the kingdom of God among us, to us, and through us. Now we come to faith as expressed in the gospel text, Luke. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. Okay, here's the magic wand. Increased your faith. No, that's not at all how it happens. The miracle of faith is real. Luther, in the explanation of the Apostles' Creed, I cannot, by my own reason or understanding, come to believe in my Lord Jesus Christ. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit calls me, gathers me, enlightens me, and then sanctifies me in his grace and his love. So faith is not a work, it's a gift. As much as your breath is a gift to animate your body so that you're alive. You didn't ask for it, it came. Faith comes to us through word, sacrament. Faith comes to us nurtured in a world of alien existence because the world repels us, but also entices us to go down their path. There's a great separation that takes place. And so if you could have just a smidgen of faith, Jesus says to his followers, you have power. Now, don't go home by walking up to trees and bushes and say, jump into the sea or Lake Huron. I think we'd all laugh at you. And that would probably have to send you somewhere. It's not literal. It is expression, as Jesus usually does, hyperbole, which he takes an example and he puts it into the greatest thing to let you see under a microscope. How much faith it takes. You think you don't have faith like other people. Oh, you don't know what faith other people have. How do you know that? Only God knows the hearts and minds of people. Don't judge other people and don't be judged by other people. That's important as a believer. Don't let the world judge us. Only God can judge us and make his opinion about us. Then Jesus goes on to say, almost like a shift, but it's still the same purpose here for the text. He says, which of you, if you were a slave, a servant to the house, and you were out there working in the sweat of the brow of your head, and you're coming in, oh, I'd like to just sit down. I'd like to have a cold one. Well, master is sitting there tapping his foot. Hey, what's keeping you? You've come in now, take care of me. I don't like the master. The master obviously is God. And we do war against God. And there's that understanding, your obligation isn't done when you think it's done. Your obligation to God and serving God in your life is not when somebody says you're 65, now you have no value to anybody. No, you're in the ripe age to give yourself to Christ. Every stage of our life, we are to be flexible, available to do the bidding of the Father. And with that in mind, he says, now, doesn't the servant behave like appropriately a servant should do it? He rolls up his sleeves, washes his hands, cleans up, cooks the dinner, comes in and delivers. And it's like a lot of mothers may be doing, like, you kids just had fun playing and doing things. Now I got to make your meal. Yes, mom, please. Try to make it. So too, the servant comes. He does the dutiful thing as servants should do, as we should do. And consequently, he does that. So you think you're going overboard in serving God. You do not understand what serving God means. God went overboard to love you and made his only son to die for you. Don't bellyache. Don't complain. Do what God's bidding is. Have your faith. Be sustained in that faith, and then work in the world to make the world a better place. May the God of grace, who calls us to be the servant, not the masters, to be servants and faithful to the master, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And now may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Spirit be upon us, remain with us always. Amen. Page 12 is our hymn of the day. We place upon your table, Lord. We sing the hymn of the day. We affirm together the faith we've been baptized into with the Apostles' Creed. Please rise. We confess together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We continue with prayers as God leads us.
Knowing the one in whom we trust, and with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us, we offer our prayers for the church, the world, and all in need. Increase the faith of your church. Give us courage when we are reticent in sharing your love. Renew us in your holy calling, according to your own purpose and grace, Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Tend the garden of your creation that teems with all kinds of life. Restore us as caretakers of animals and plants, mindful of the generations to come. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Destruction and violence are ever before us, and strife and contention rise up in many nations. Draw to yourself all the people of the world, embolden them to strive for peaceful and just solutions to conflict. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
You promise life and wholeness to those who wait patiently for you, and you hear those who cry out for help. Heal the sick, bind up the brokenhearted, and attend to all need in your care, especially Susan Phillips, Jill Harper, Jared Lucas, Bev Chidster, Patricia May, Maria Rompf, Donna Taylor, Cheryl Dorsbacher, Joanne Kilborn, Kirk Langolf, Marilyn Wright, Crystal Lewis, Jody Murphy, and be with the family of Bob McMorrin with his passing. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Rekindle your gift of love in this community. Bind together in Christ the weak and the strong, and those with little faith, and those with much. Help us to respond to one another with Christ-like compassion. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
And Lord, be with those serving our nation. Corey Middleton, Tristan Morrison, Jamie Souyer, Faye Wright, and be with those who are serving overseas and those returning to our communities. We remember with gratitude the faithful who have guided the next generations. Gather us all, your holy ones, into the eternal risen life in Christ. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer. Gracious God, continue to be with Jody Murphy as he recovers from surgery. Be with Tristan Morrison whenever he receives his movement papers in the Navy. Be with his family back here as changes begin. Keep us all, Lord, wrapped in your love and your grace. So trusting and delighting in you, we commend all of our lives into your loving hands. We offer these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. And if you'll please be seated, we receive our gifts for the work of Christ Church. Mind you, if the youth have not approached you or found you at services of worship, that you can use the pew envelopes, mark on it for crop. If you put cash in, that's fine, it's going to be channeled. If you have a check, you can make it to crop. But we have to know that it's there so we can take it with us to the United Methodist Church. And if it's a check to our Savior, which is okay, it'll come in to be deposited and then transferred to the crop people. So your gift is going to be received by using the pew envelope if that's your desire, okay? That's today's walk. 12:30 is when the walkers are to be at First United Methodist Church. And we'll launch from there. And it's hard to predict out of the 8 youth how many will show up, but they're all supposed to be there. So if you're listening to this broadcast, get your tails here. And we want you. We call it a servant project. We've done them for 26 years. When youth are asked to do something for somebody else and not themselves, no reward, no payoff, but do it for the grace of God. Reach out to the world. So that's why we do servant projects. You're going to hear other ones coming up through this year as we have every year. So be mindful of that. Tuesday night, church council preceding that is the trustees meeting. You should have received your newsletter certainly by now. If you're not getting an e-letter, then apparently we don't have your correct address. So email me something as indicated in the bulletin, all the instruments we use, and we'll correct whatever may be wrong or add you if we did not have you, okay? Elder Guild wants you to know that you can, if you choose not to put flowers up, the new sheet will show this, sign-up sheet. You have a choice in the future, as of the next month, to give flowers in memory of so-and-so. If you just want to make a gift for the cost of what flowers would be, no flowers will be ordered, but we'll use our beautiful artificial flowers, and that gift will go into our memorial fund, okay? Two tracks. We make it clear that you can choose either one of those tracks. We are going to be scheduling, you'll see it in the e-letters, I need to have the courage to choose one date for next Sunday between services when we're doing animals. But we've got a committee for finance, budget, committee for nominations, and for parish ed and youth, looking at the holiday season, what we can do together to give glory to the one born among us. Many other things to consider and be part of. Our worship continues, gifts are presented. Please rise, we sing our offertory.
God our provider. We bring nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out of it, except the gifts you have first given us, which we bring to your table. And with them, the offering of your lives. Nourish us with the life that really is life, revealed to us in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Also.
Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. And let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and he gave thanks. He broke it, he gave it to his disciples. He said, take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Again after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks. He gave it for a drink and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. It's shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me. So it's with this bread and it's with this cup. We remember our Lord's presence from death to life as we proclaim the mystery of our faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Yeah. Let us pray as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. God invites you to this table of bounty. Come, for the banquet is ready. Thanks be to God. Come, as you're directed, please be seated. He's kind. This is Christ's body for you. Take and eat.
on the radio, this is when the organist and myself commune together.
Christ's body broken for you.
Amen. Amen.
Receive the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through his death and his resurrection. You can receive full satisfaction for your sin. You may go in his peace.
Amen.
Service continues from page 22 with blessing. I invite you to stand, please. And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ bless and keep you now and forever. Amen.
God, a blessing at this table we have seen you face to face and the gift of Christ's body and blood. Our hearts have been refreshed. Send us now to shine with your goodness and bear witness to the one we have received, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Amen. Guard the good treasure that's been entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. Almighty God, bless you with grace, mercy, and peace, now and forever. Amen. Closing hymn, Jesus is a Rock in a Weary Land. We sing.
Go in peace.
You've been listening
Christ
to the
is sending you.
Sunday morning worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church. Begins each Sunday at 8:30 here on WPHM, Port Huron.